This is LifeMint.com and you're listening to the Mint Editors Podcast with me, Nandita Mathur, and Mint's editor, R. Sukumar. So the first story we discuss is the big one, which is making headlines on the IT employees being laid off. And, you know, all top companies like Infosys and Wipro have laid off. And our story says that, you know, the number is about 56,000 employees, which is a huge number. So what do you have to say to that?
Actually, we've been writing about it for the last year or so. Right. I think the Indian IT industry is in the midst of a transformation. Mm. It's being buffeted from all sides by various factors. Let's look at these factors one by one. The first thing that's really hurting the IT industry is the fact that the world has moved on to newer technologies.
Right.
So their customers are expecting really different sort of solutions from them, which require things like data analytics or expertise in artificial intelligence or one of these things. And these are not people-intensive businesses. The same way that application development and maintenance was a people-intensive business. So they need fewer people. Secondly, year after year, there is a huge pressure on costs, right? Because customers want to spend less. Yeah. So there's this imperative to cut costs. And in a way, in an effort to become more efficient, many of these companies have adopted automation.
Mm.
It is possible to automate some amount of software. Now, again, you don't need people.
Right.
So you have to bring down your workforce. Now, let's look at the third factor. And the third factor is really what's happening in the United States.
Mm.
The United States has moved and will further move to a more tight visa regime, which is not exactly going to work to the advantage of Indian IT companies.
Mm.
So when you're buffeted from all sides, you have to change your model. Now, the problem is, I don't think Indian IT has really changed its model fast enough. They're unable to cope. And what you're seeing now is an outcome of that. In fact, I would think that some of the numbers that we've mentioned are very conservative numbers, because I think the actual number of people who might be let go would be much higher than this.
Mm.
And over a period of time, they're also not going to be hiring as significantly. And now, you must also understand that this doesn't mean that these companies stop hiring, right? Because they will still need people with these higher order skills. They will need specialists in data analytics. They will need specialists in cloud. They will need specialists in, I think the preferred term for it in the industry is SMACI, right? Social media, analytics, cloud, Internet of Things.
Wow.
Right? And I think that's where they're really going to hire. Some of the companies have also said they're going to hire in the US. This is a good PR move, right? I mean, it's going to make sure that the US regime sees you with slightly more favorable eyes. And so it's a good move. So all of that will translate into pruning some numbers, letting some people go, and that's what's happening.
Right. But do you think that, because most of the companies are not sort of admitting that this is because of Trump and, you know, all the various reasons you mentioned, it's just happening right after the performance appraisals and they're saying that these are just...
Yeah, but performance appraisals suddenly don't get more stringent, right? I mean, these are appraisals that happen year after year.
Right.
So it's not as if performance appraisals suddenly get stringent.
Mm.
I think, see, this is reality. And I'm not saying this in any negative way. I feel very sorry for people who are losing their jobs, because it is unfortunate that they're losing jobs at a time when the economy isn't creating so many jobs. The Indian economy is growing, but we're not creating so many jobs.
Right.
But that's another discussion. But at the same time, it's a business decision.
Mm.
These companies have to look out for their survival. And I think these employees are in some ways collateral damage. They're losing their jobs on account of that. Sure, but companies are never going to come out and say, okay, we have a problem and we've decided that the way to sort this out is by letting people go. Because they don't want the rash of unfavorable publicity that usually accompanies any large retrenchment exercise.
Mm.
But it's a fact of life. I think at some point in time, everyone's going to have to accept it.
Right. Moving on, we move to the other story, which is from the world of startups, where Flipkart has just made a $1 billion offer. It's an informal offer to buy Snapdeal. And SoftBank is one of the biggest investors, and it's also, you know, having losses.
And this has been going on for some time.
Yeah.
The deal is still not done, right? I mean, as they say, it's not over till the fat lady sings, right?
Yeah.
That song is yet to happen.
Right.
But I think you need to see this from two perspectives. One is the perspective of SoftBank, whose initial wave of investments in India didn't really go well, seems to have a much better idea of what it wants to do now. So the it wants to have that stake in Flipkart. Far easier to have that stake in Flipkart by getting Flipkart to take over Snapdeal,
right,
which is not doing well. Some of the other investors in Snapdeal are not very happy about this because they obviously want some returns for their investment. They don't want to write off too much of those investments. So it's one of those interesting developments that's happening as the space consolidates. And we've spoken of this before. In the e-commerce space, it's going to be Amazon versus the anti-Amazon in India, right? I mean, Amazon is not going anywhere now. So who's the anti-Amazon? Right now, it's Flipkart. And then you put Snapdeal, it becomes stronger. And then you have the dark horse, which is Alibaba, right? And we don't know what Alibaba is going to do. And at some point in time, will Alibaba also join forces with the anti-Amazon? It's not inconceivable, right? Because I think these are the two big players that are there internationally in the market. The important thing to note is I think these companies do not want to suffer the same fate as in China, right? In China, Alibaba is the dominant player. Amazon is not there at all. Uber has had to backtrack. So in India, Uber and Amazon have made huge bets. They've really pushed ahead. And there is clearly an alignment of forces against them. And you'll see a lot of consolidation in that space.
Right. Moving on, we have another story, this time on demonetization. About a lot has been written and said. And this time the story says that 9.1 million taxpayers have been added because of the effect of demonetization.
Yes. Not completely because of the effect of demonetization. And this number has come to us from completely credible sources,
right?
I'm told it was the subject matter of a presentation that was made to the Prime Minister. Every year, India adds around 6 million taxpayers. And it loses around 1 million taxpayers for a variety of reasons. Retirement, death, whatever. So that's around 5. This year, that is the year ended 31st March 2017, it added 9.1 million. So that's around 4.1 million more than it would have usually added. And I think if you look back, sure, some of this is organic things. The tax regime has been trying to get tighter addressability of huge expense and something and tax. There's some equation that's happening. But a lot of it has to do with demonetization and the fact that people with cash had to go and deposit that money and everything else. So I think the benefits of that are probably in the fact that this tax base has expanded. With the increase, India now has a tax base of 65 million. It's still very insignificant. The aim of this government, as articulated by Prime Minister Modi in June conversation last year that he had with various tax department people, it was a speech to the income tax department, he asked them to increase India's tax base to 100 million. And I think that's a good number to increase it to. We all know that not enough people in India pay tax. The finance minister, who obviously knows more than you and I, said exactly the same thing during the budget speech. He listed the number of people who were buying luxury cars. He listed the number of people who were traveling abroad. And he said, you look at these numbers and you actually look at the number of people who pay tax. It's very insignificant. And I think that's the way to do that. We need to do two things. The first thing we need to do is we need to broaden the tax base in this country. The second thing we need to do is to make sure that everyone pays the proper amount of tax. There are just around 2.5 million people who supposedly earn more than 20 lakh or in this country, right? I mean, that's inconceivable. You can't believe that in an economy like India. 2 trillion economy growing at around 7.5%. And you look at the way some of these companies are performing, you look at salaries of executives in various companies, there's clearly a mismatch that's happening somewhere.
Yeah.
And all this is without charging any tax on agricultural income.
Right.
And the finance minister has clarified after the Niti Aayog, which is the think tank, after one of its members expressed a private view that maybe charging, I mean, levying a tax on agricultural income was a good way to go. And I personally think it is. The finance minister has clarified that there is no immediate plan to do anything of the sort. And he's actually in Tokyo, I think it was, he said, a rich farmer is a rare farmer, right? Most farmers are not rich.
Right. We move to the next story, which is on India's economic growth strategy. And basically, the story is talking about Niti Aayog's action plan, which is just a laundry list. And how do we get from where we are to a $20 trillion economy? How do we push exports? How do we increase or create more jobs is the question.
Yeah, it's a tough question, right? I think it's a challenge because the approach we've decided to take is clearly one to boost labor-intensive sectors in the country, which are in some ways higher order sectors than what we currently have. So it's a move away from the argument that you will have millions of small enterprises that together sort of take the economy up.
Right.
Because the big problem in India is that the scale of many enterprises is suboptimal.
Yeah.
And subscale enterprises can't be competitive. The quality is invariably bad. Mm. Sure, there may be exceptions, but it's invariably bad. And they're not productive, right? So that's the approach. So it's a very challenging task they've set, where they've said, we are going to create jobs. We're going to create jobs in these higher order sectors. Mm. We're going to look at exports. Means an increase in productivity, means an increase in competitiveness.
Right.
Still hasn't come down with a point by point way in which this will be done. What will be the engines of growth, right? We still don't know. What sectors will really be the engines of growth? So some big questions still need to be answered. But what they've clearly said is what they will not do. To me, that's the important thing, right? And I think this move away from this belief that we can progress by just focusing on the sectors that we are currently focusing on, that we can expand the economy by just focusing on small enterprises, I think they've moved away from that. I think they're looking at what is much more of a Asian tiger model of growth. It's a good model of growth.
Right.
It's not a bad model of growth.
Mm.
I personally believe that at some point in time, we may have to evolve our own model of growth, which is a lot more inclusive and which looks at various other issues. It's a complex country, far too huge to follow one model of growth, I think.
Right.
I think you may have several pockets, each one of which is looking at a different model of growth.
So those were Sukumar's top stories for this week. Do let us know what you think. You can email us at feedback@livemint.com or follow us at LiveMint on Twitter and Mint on Facebook. Thank you for listening and see you next Friday.